So it's great to have you with us online and also here in the house. Well, we're doing a series called Unshakable. Unshakable from Jeremiah. And who's been enjoying this series? Yep, a few hands. Okay, it's called Unshakable, from anxiety to hope when your world's going crazy. And our world does seem to be going crazy, but God and his people, they help us, they work with us, they envelop us and allow us to develop hope for the future. Okay, let's pray. Lord God, as we open up your word, we ask that you will open up our hearts. Grant to me clarity to speak in a way that can be understood. May your spirit have liberty to open up hearts, to break down strongholds, to enter into people's lives, and to create transformative change. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so in 1983, when I married that beautiful lady up there, Sue was already on the pastoral team at Greenslopes Baptist Church. We lived in the church, but the church, we lived in the church manse, I should say. We didn't live in the church. Felt like it. But we lived in the church manse, and the church surrounded us on three sides. We had no real close neighbours. And as it worked out, I was working night shift, and my young bride was working day shift. And we lived in the manse, and people would knock on the door asking for handouts. Some of them looked pretty rough and mean. Some of them were quite nice. But as they walked up the steps to the Queenslander in Brisbane, it freaked me out. Nah, it perturbed me that my young bride was home by herself. So I bought a little puppy, and we named him Ricky. Wow. Ricky was the son of a Woodford prison guard dog. Ricky was gorgeous. He had a little floppy ear when he was really young, but he grew up to be smart, strong, and protective. He did the job. We're looking at Jeremiah. I wonder what Jeremiah was really like as a person. I mean, God called a young man to be a prophet to a rebellious nation who would not, because they would not, follow God. He was called to prophesy to a nation who was in the decline, about to be destroyed and about to be deported and put into exile for 70 years. Everyone was against him. He had plots to kill him. And yet, one commentator writes about Jeremiah and says, Jeremiah was not some thick-skinned, tough guy, but rather a tender-hearted country boy. I'm wearing my good country boy clothes in honour of Jeremiah, who was a country boy. How did Jeremiah grow to become such a man of God? How can we grow into unshakable believers? And that's the question we want to explore today. How can we grow into unshakable believers? Let's read. Jeremiah chapter 12. The question, Lord, you always give me justice when I bring my case before you. So let me bring you this, what? Complaint. Have you ever complained to God? Let me bring you this complaint. Why are the wicked so prosperous? Why are evil people so happy? You have planted them, and they have taken up roots and prospered. Your name is on their lips, but you are far from their hearts. But as for me, Lord, you know my heart. You see me and test my thoughts. Drag these people away like sheep to be butchered. Set them aside to be slaughtered. How long must this land mourn? Even the grass and the fields have withered. The wild animals and birds have disappeared because of the evil in the land. For the people have said, the Lord doesn't see what's ahead for us. What an amazing man. Jeremiah has been through two conspiracies where people tried to kill him. He was stressed out at this point, bone tired, and in prison. What did he do? Oh, yeah, he went to Facebook, dialed in, called up all his mates and asked them what he should do in prison when he's so tired. He got onto Instagram and he did some Twitters and he complained uphill and down Dale because all his mates wanted to hear his whinging. No. He talked to God. He spent time talking to God. He told God about what he'd observed, that the wicked are just prospering and are as happy as pigs in mud. He complained and he poured out his heart. Yeah, he went to God. Now, you might just ask, and rightly so, what's that got to do with us? We're not in a land that's in the middle of a siege. We're not in a land that's where the people are going to exile. What's that got to do with us? Well, Australia is called the lucky country. We're not under siege like they were. But we are suffering the scourge of drugs. Just talk to a neighbour who works up north. Methamphetamine is incredibly overused. Used, and it shouldn't be. We're in a land that's under the scourge of drugs. Domestic violence is rampant. Sexual abuse of adults at the workplace. Children, kids. And did you know that this week they announced that there are 9 suicides a day in Australia? I think what Jeremiah was going through, what Jeremiah saw in his culture, with it in this downward spiral, this race to the bottom of the barrel, I think we're experiencing some of that in Australia, don't you? How do we live in? How do we raise our children to be unshakable believers in this sort of environment? I believe that knowing and understanding God forges unshakable believers. Let me repeat that. I believe that knowing and understanding God forges unshakable believers. The first thing we learn from Jeremiah in Jeremiah 12 is that The first thing we learn from Jeremiah's experience is that because he knew God, because he understood God to the degree that a human being can, he took his concerns and questions to God. Those who wish to be unshakable believers have learned the art of taking their observations and their questions and their concerns to their Heavenly Father. Jeremiah asked God, why are the wicked so prosperous? And I reckon just about anyone here who has done some reflection will have asked that same question. Why are evil people so happy? Proverbs talks about the fact that some people just can't get to sleep at night till they have done their daily dose of evil. How long must this land mourn with people whose moral compass is more frozen than Jack Sparrow's? Yeah. It's so easy to chase the answers in the wrong spot, isn't it? It's so easy to get so caught up on social media or with work or with this or with that that we take our questions and our concerns, we take them to the wrong place. We go to Facebook or Dr. Google and we forget to talk to God. If you're a Christian, may I encourage you to talk to God with your concerns. Talk to God with your questions. If you are a Christian, make talking to God your priority. James 1:5 says, if you need wisdom, ask God, our generous God, and he will give it to you. God wants to give you wisdom. He wants to talk to you. He wants to answer your questions. And he wants to build you up. Do you want to be an unshakable believer? Take your questions and your concerns to God. The second thing we can learn from Jeremiah is that Jeremiah embraced God's answers and learned his ways. Hey, it's one thing to ask a question. It's one thing to take complaints to someone. But it's a very different thing to embrace the answers they give us. Have you ever asked someone a question and didn't like the answer? When I was at theological college, we had a lady who wanted to know whether she should be dating this particular bloke. And she went around asking all her friends, what do you reckon, what do you reckon, what do you reckon? And she went around talking to everyone till she found someone that had the answer that she wanted. Oh, that's what God told me to do. Wow. Embrace God's answers and learn his ways. I can't see the number up there. Number 6. I should have made the numbers bigger. My apologies. Okay. Embrace God's answers and learn his ways. Let's read about how God answered Jeremiah. Jeremiah was really struggling. He was really struggling. And so he talked to God. So how did God answer him? Well, some of us think that God's going to get his finger out and just go off at us like a packet of crackers. But that's not how God answered Jeremiah when Jeremiah was really in trouble. Let's read the sort of answers God gave Jeremiah. The Lord's replies. If racing against mere men makes you tired, Jeremiah, how will you race against horses? If you stumble and fall on open ground, what will you do in the thickets near the Jordan? And you could read it as if God is shaking his finger at Jeremiah. But as we read this passage, we realize that God is saying, hey, Jeremiah, if you're struggling now, you need to know it's going to get harder. You need to know that if you're struggling racing with mere men, when you start racing with horses, it's going to be tougher. You need to toughen up. Mr. Prophet, your calling will demand an increasing capacity. But don't worry. I will be with you. In fact, Jeremiah had been told in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 8, don't be afraid of the people, for I will be with you and I will protect you. I, the Lord, have spoken. And in Matthew 28, we know Jesus said to us, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Sure, we look at our kids and we want them to grow resilient. We want them to grow up to be able to handle life's problems. And God looks at his kids. And he goes, yep, I know it's going to get tougher at work. I know it's going to get tougher as a mum. I know it's going to get tougher because your husband has walked out on you. I know it's going to get harder for you to do your ministry. But I got you. I've got you. And I will grow you. I will grow your capacity. I will build you. Just keep asking me the questions. Just keep learning to understand me and know me. Just keep making me number one in priority in your life, and I will help you grow capacity and become the man and woman of God that I can see you will be if only you will trust me. And so he goes on, and he says, Jeremiah, I hear your pain. I hear your pain. Even your brothers, members of your own family have turned against you. I can see it. I watch them do it. They plot and raise complaints against you. Don't trust them. They come out with silky, smooth words. Don't trust them. No matter how pleasantly they speak, I can see what's going on. I hear your pain. I know what it feels like to be betrayed. But we've got this. We've got this. And he goes on. God says to Jeremiah, my heart is breaking too. I'm not divorced from pain. My heart is breaking too. I have abandoned my people, my children. I've had to abandon them, my special possession. I've surrendered my dearest ones to their enemies. My chosen people have roared at me like a lion in the forest, so I have treated them with contempt. My people have planted wheat, but are harvesting thorns. They will harvest a crop of shame because of the fierce anger of the Lord. I love them too much to let them go on going on, keeping on, ignoring me and not being the people I have created them to be and not becoming the people I have planned for them to be. My heart is breaking too, Jeremiah. I hear your pain. Do you hear mine? And he goes on, I am the God of justice and compassion. So I will sort it out. Now, this is what the Lord says. I will uproot them from their land, all the evil nations reaching out for the possession that I gave my people Israel, and I will uproot Judah from among them. But afterward, I love the buts in the Bible. But afterward, I will bring them home to their own lands again, each nation to his own possession. And if these nations learn to swear by my name, then they will be given a place among my people. Wow. What an encouragement to a man who is going through deep stuff. He's bone tired. He's at the end of his tether. He's in prison. They're going to sack the city and take people away into exile. Wow. Knowing and understanding God forges. Do you like the word forges? You know what a forge is? Knowing and understanding God forges unshakable believers. You're going through tough times? Yeah. God, the redeeming God, turns bad stuff into good stuff. He is a redeeming God who redeems the chaos, the carnage, and the troubles in our lives and brings good things out of them. Many years ago, when we had children's stories in church, we had this lady whose upbringing you would not even want to read about. And I led her to the Lord. She was transformed over many years. But at one point, this lady whose upbringing would require several lifetimes of counseling unless God intervened, this lady gave this children's story, and she talked about how the caterpillars go into a cocoon. It's called metamorphosis. And in the cocoons, they are transformed to become beautiful butterflies. And according to her research, the leftover bits, can't remember whether they are cells or DNA or what, probably DNA, the leftover bits are used to create the colours on the butterfly. The leftover stuff, the stuff that most people would chuck out, is the stuff God takes and puts colour into your testimony. Knowing and understanding God forges unshakable believers. Take your questions to God. Read the Psalms if you're aching deep within. Pray through some of the Psalms. Embrace God's answers and learn his ways. Serving God does not get easier, but your capacity grows to do it. God hears your pain. He's not deaf. He's not just a transcendent God who is all-powerful, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. He's also very immanent. He's also very with you. He hears your pain. He has his own pain as he watches his own children struggling with sin and chaos and carnage that he didn't want at the beginning. He is the God of justice and compassion. He will put it all right. Many years ago, I married this beautiful woman. Time is ticking away. I had my 70th birthday last Sunday. We had a bit of a gathering yesterday. I am the young man who married that beautiful young lady. And life has been a journey with many highs and with some many, many deep lows. But God has been faithful. And we can testify to the fact that knowing and understanding God forges unshakable believers. May I leave you with two of my favorite passages of Scripture. This is what the Lord says. Don't let the wise boast in their wisdom, or the powerful boast in their power, or the rich boast in their riches. But those who wish to boast should boast in this alone, that they know me and understand that I am the Lord, who demonstrates unfailing love, who brings justice and righteousness to the earth. And that I delight in these things. God what? God what? He delights in these things. Wow. I, the Lord, have spoken. Do you know this God? Are you listening to this God? Are you walking with this God? Are you doing what he's asked you to do? Psalm 91, verses 1 to 2 says, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will dwell in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust in him.